Hello, I'm Doug Fackema from the Anacortes Christian Reformed Church, and it is my privilege to welcome you to what we hope is our last weekend for a long time of exclusively remote gathering. Yes, next week as we start Holy Week, we hope to gather both online and in person here at the corner of 10th and O. Watch your email and the website for details. Call to worship on this last weekend before Palm Sunday is from Psalm 134, the last of the Psalms of Ascent, and one that turns our attention one more time to Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. An invitation to turn our hearts towards Jerusalem and a blessing for God's people when they gather remotely this week. We hope in person next week. The text for this weekend is John 15, the vine and the branches, a lesson in abiding in Christ. And Jesus has one of the great one-sentence sermons as we begin this text from John 15:5. It's a one-sentence sermon, and good speakers are able to condense their message, a State of the Union address to a sermon, into just one sentence to be able to explain it. Jesus does that beautifully in John 15:5. He sets the picture, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then his main point, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The ultimate one-sentence sermon. Jesus didn't just pull that sermon out of thin air. That was a sermon that has a great heritage in Hebrew Scripture. And I believe he had Psalm 80 in mind. And I'd like to read Psalm 80 to set the stage for this, to tell the story of God's Old Testament people being his vine. And as Jesus prepares for us New Testament branches to take over. From Psalm 80, a text that was our prayer this morning with this repeated refrain, restore us, O God Almighty, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. And then the story. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and you planted it. You cleared the ground for it and it took root and it filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It set out its boughs to the sea. It shoots as far as a river, from sea to river, from mountains to trees. This vine filled the Holy Land and became God's beautiful vineyard. And then the question, why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? The vineyard has fallen into disrepair. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. The root your high hand has planted, the sun you have raised for yourself, for your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire at your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man of your right hand, the son of man, who you raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. And then the repeated refrain, restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. The song of the vine and the history of God dealing with his people as a vineyard. And I hope if you listened really carefully, maybe you picked out a messianic hint or two in that text. Now, this John 15 vine and branches picture comes in the middle of the Upper Room Discourse. And it comes as Bob Diffenbaugh said in his sermon, between the cross and a hard place. Jesus has just announced that he's going to go to the cross. He's going to be denied. He's going to be betrayed. And then he announces following this that the world is going to hate you. John 16:33, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I have told you these things so that in me, abiding in Jesus, we may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. The tribulation word, thalipsis. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Just as we talk about bearing fruit, just remember this. Bearing fruit is not going to endear us to the world. Bearing fruit is going to bring glory to God. So don't expect this to be a happy sermon about how we are going to bear fruit and the world is going to come and gather at our door. No, bearing fruit can be more convicting than endearing to this world. So get ready, vine and branches. Jesus begins in the first four verses of this conversation, setting the stage. They've moved from the upper room to the, appropriately so, the garden. And so he begins, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." Not a an agricultural word there, but a theological word, a liturgical word there, pointing to the sacraments, pointing to the sanctifying work in our lives. "He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Just a few thoughts as to Jesus' introduction of the vine and branches story. Vine, gardener, and source of life as the gardener tends, and then the vine brings in nutrients and water from the soil and gets it up to the branches so the branches can do their work. Father's a gardener. The Son is the vine. The Holy Spirit is the source of life that is transferred from ground and provided for the branches so that they can do their work. And I was gone for the last week. I left Anacortes with my backyard looking as barren as could be. Come back 5 days later, and my backyard is green. The leaves on the trees are coming out in full force. And it's kind of a nice time of year because in the winter my backyard glows purple from the high school football field. In the spring, as the leaves come out, that purple glow kind of dissipates, and I get more natural look in the back. I love it. But the branches are beginning to accomplish their purpose of using the nutrients and the water from the vine, and then those branches produce with the sunlight O2 and capture carbon and do their work in my backyard. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Vine, gardener, source of life, the Holy Spirit. This sounds Trinitarian to me, and it shows how the all three persons of the Trinity are so involved in this bearing fruit process. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He cleans so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean," he says, "because of the word I have spoken to you." We have two branches here. Some branches cut off, some branches pruned. And as I hope you know, that word cut off is much debated these days. Iro in the Greek, a very simple Greek word that can mean cut off in some contexts. It can mean lifted up in other contexts. And the question is, does Jesus cut off that vine and burn it? Or does Jesus lift up, does the gardener lift up that branch that's laying in the dirt so that it will bear fruit? Both of those pictures are meaningful. Both could be Jesus' meaning here, his story. It really depends on who the we is. Is the we nominal believers in name only, or the Jews who had rejected Jesus, who thought they were in the vine but were bearing no fruit and so were going to be judged? Or is the we in this text the believer who is slow to bear fruit, so the gardener comes along and gently, tenderly lifts up that branch? It depends on who the we is. Both could work. I tend towards the lift up. The four resources I put in my notes, the Deffenbaugh sermon, the Spurgeon sermon, the D.A. Carson piece, and the Carl Laney, my old biblical geography professor, his piece on agriculture, all four of those lean towards the cutoff picture. And I've listed four passages for you to look at: Isaiah 5, Psalm 80, Matthew 3, Matthew 7, again Mark 4, and then the very, very, very important Romans chapter 11. And when I shared this on Zoom this week, Grandma Gay just jumped on that Romans 11 passage where the the old branches were cut off so that we Gentile branches could be grafted in to the olive tree. I'll let you do your study. Both ideas have really important lessons that go along with them. But what everybody agrees on is that remaining in Jesus, the branches remaining in the vine, is the most important part of our experience of our salvation. As the old Reformed theologians would say, it's the essential element of the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation, and its union with Christ. From Calvin to Wilborn's great book that that BJ has been sharing, Union with Christ, this is the central part of understanding our salvation. We are saved because we are made one with Christ. We share in his crucifixion. We share in his resurrection. We are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ right now, and we are going to share in the ultimate resurrection experience at the second coming. In Christ is really important, and we're going to talk more and more about what that means throughout this sermon. Bearing fruit is the purpose of the branch. It is the expected, even the necessary outcome of a branch, but it's the organic part of this picture that is so important to me. The organic part of how the roots gather in the nutrients because of the fungi and the bacteria in the ground that break down the nutrients so that the roots can absorb them and get them up to the branches through the vine, through that capillary action in those in the trunk and in the vine and get it to the branches so the branches can suck in the CO2 and the light and send out the O2 and the sugars. It is an organic process, and the organic nature of it, an organic process is always so much more than just the sum of its parts. The organic nature of this process is going to be very, very important as we go on. And finally, just in this introduction, we see the process for pruning, the process for cleaning is primarily going to be the Word of God. And this is a really important point. I should have had five things instead of four right here in my outline. But the gardener uses the Word. And we've seen that in the beginning of the Upper Room Discourse as Jesus said, you're already clean to his disciples. And now he says even more explicitly that the gardener is going to clean these branches by using the sanctifying power of the Word of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful introduction to his one-page sermon. And now we come to that one-sentence sermon. And now we come to that sermon. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I'm just going to ask that really, really important question. What is the fruit? If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. What is that fruit? And there are sermons, there have been sermons preached that say the fruit is either simple obedience, that's one option, fruit of repentance. It could be new converts, though vines don't bear vines, vine bear grapes, so it's a little bit of a funny picture there. It could be love, as we're going to see love factors very highly in the rest of this text. Or it could be character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, those elements. So what's the fruit? Well, I agree with Carson. I really encourage you to read his commentary on John in the Pillar series. He says that to say fruit, the fruit we bear is one of those things is reductionistic. Again, the total is so much more than just the sum of its parts when we're talking about the organic process of bearing fruit. It is simple obedience. It is new converts. It is love. It is character. But really, it is us being prepared to ask whatever we wish and have it given to us. The fruit is what we are asking God for. And what are we asking God for? Yes, we're asking for obedience and converts and character and love, but really what we're asking for him for is more. Because it isn't what kind of fruit that Jesus points to here, it is the muchness of the fruit. He repeats it, if anyone remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So when somebody asks me, Doug, what kind of fruit is this? I'm just going to say, it's much fruit. And it's whatever fruit comes from us going to God and saying, we want more of what you have for us. The second thing is, there is a real warning here. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away, withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. That's a clear picture of judgment. It's a real warning, but it's a warning that is not going to happen to the one in the vine. Hebrews 6 is a great example of this kind of warning passage in Scripture. It's kind of like the mountain climber, and this was Bob Deffenbaugh's illustration that I'm stealing, who's instructing his mountain climbing novices on the importance of taking care of their rope, their line, and says, if this rope were to break, you would plummet to your death. Well, that's a real warning, but it's not going to happen because the guide, the mountain climber, the expert, is not going to let his novices go with a faulty rope. Same here. The vine is not going to let the branches that are truly organically in the vine not bear fruit. And remaining, what does that mean? It's the excuse me. It's that simple Greek word meno. Remain, abide, stay. It has a wide range of meanings in the translations, wide range of translations. But I think Jesus is referring back to John 14. Just the previous chapter, he said this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. 14:2, in my Father's house are many rooms, dwelling places, places to meet with God. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. While it is true that John 14 points us forward to heaven, John 14 also points us to the fact that Jesus is right now preparing meeting places to remain, places to abide. And this is one of those places where it's fair to change the noun room into the verb abide, remain, stay. But maybe the best word to change it into is dwell. Move in. Move in with me, and I will move in with you, and you will bear much fruit. If you move in with me, if you dwell with me, if you make your home with me, I love the idea of this being our new home. If you remain in me, if you make your home with me, and my words make their home in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Now that's a new take on asking whatever you wish. If you remain in me, and my words make their home in you, then ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? Whatever fruit comes out of our asking the Father as we dwell in the vine and the Word of God dwells in us. That fruit. But we're going to bear a lot of it. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Well, now, I want to go back, because Jesus goes back, and asks the question. We've looked a little bit at the branches that don't bear fruit, cut off and burned. What about the branches that are going to bear fruit? And here I'm going to go back to that beautiful picture in Luke 13 where the farmer comes along and sees this tree that's not bearing, and he says, get rid of it. And the gardener, the one who's taking care of that tree, just loves the tree. And he says, no, don't cut it down. Give me a year. Give me 2 years. Let me nurture it. Let me fertilize it. That's the word in Luke 13. Let me fertilize it, and see what happens. And sometimes we think about fertilization as a stinky, ugly process. That's the way my wife's truck smells after she has moved manure. Or God's discipline as a very difficult thing, like the pig pen experience in the parable of the prodigal son. But here, I'm going to give this a new name. It might be kind of strange. I, I couldn't come up with a better description. I'm just going to call it sweet manure. Because the gardener loves this tree and wants it to succeed. And so he applies sweet manure, just good stuff, to the tree so that it will bear even more fruit. And at the end of this text, Jesus gives his commentary on vine and branches and describes what I think is the cleaning process, the sweet manure that the farmer is going to apply to this these branches so that they bear a lot of fruit. How does that happen? And sometimes this text, verses 9 to 17, are looked at as this is how to bear fruit. But I really think it's better to see these as how Jesus is working so that we will bear much fruit. And there's a couple of things in here. I just want to pick them out with you as we close and think about how Jesus is working in your life and in my life so that we will bear much fruit, so that we will bring glory to God. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain, abide, dwell, make your home in my love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands. And Jesus has already said that his primary obedience is to the cross. I've already obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And my command is this, love one each other as I have loved you. That's what Jesus showed in John 13 as we began this series. He showed them the full extent of his love and then washed their feet, pointing towards the cross. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. A servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command, love one another. Five elements of that sweet manure that will just allow us to bear much fruit. The work God is doing in your life and in my life. Number one, abiding in Jesus' love. If you want to know what the full extent of his love is, you can't see it any clearer than next week as we celebrate Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Cross and resurrection, the full extent of his love for us. We keep Jesus' commandments. And again, this is the sweet manure that is being applied to us as the Holy Spirit teaches us everything that Jesus has said. That's one of the roles of the Spirit in our lives. We love our brothers and sisters. Love each other as I have loved you. Self-giving love, sacrificial love, humble love. Those are the pictures. A love that if you forget what it means, go to the cross. I'm having a conversation with a friend right now about what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. The love chapter. Love is patient, kind, bears no record of wrongs. As we got to the end of the conversation, I said, what this is really about is not how I'm supposed to love you. What this is really about is, what is God like? Love in 1 Corinthians 13 are just the attributes of God. We love the brothers and sisters as the attributes of God come out. We have great joy. Joy is an underrated manure. It just sounds funny even saying that. And for those of you who cheer the fruit of the Spirit as important fruit, you'll notice that love and joy, the first two fruit of the Spirit, are two things that Jesus mentions specifically here. And we change from servant to friend as we become part of the family. As we are attached to Jesus in a much more organic way than just as a servant. I'm reminded of the Good Shepherd parable where Jesus said that the hired hand runs away. The good shepherd stays with the sheep. We change from servants to friends because we are invited in as Jesus shares with us the heart of the Father and invites us to bear much fruit. John 15:5. Jesus' one sentence sermon: if a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'm looking forward to the Father's glory being revealed as we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be his disciples. Father, thank you again for the privilege of opening up your pruning word together. And Father, as we are as we're one step closer to Holy Week, show us again the full extent of your love. Thank you for inviting us to abide right there. In Jesus' name, amen.